FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Zidane! Oh, fantastic! Batistuta! Oh, what a fantastic hit! Henry will have to do it alone. Oh, and here's Raul! Oh, he's not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká!
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Euro Show here on FNR, Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. After a week in New York City, I'm Adriano Del Monte and I'm back with you here in the studio. Plenty of European action to discuss. Very exciting program. It's been a big weekend. There's the draw for the UEFA Champions League and Europa League that takes place tonight, 10 p.m. local time here on the east coast of Australia. We'll take you through that, all the permutations. There's transfer news and plenty of results and action to get through. As I said, we'd love to hear from you, so get involved in the conversation at any time. 99 99 99 99 is the number to call. You can also text us. We're on 0428 933 45 or tweet us at FNR_radio. And also, there is a prize giveaway for the Christmas period. We're just a fortnight out, quite unbelievable. But today on our show and throughout the remainder of the week, we're giving away to our best caller or SMSer, or even if you get involved on Twitter as well, a traditional premium-packed panettone from our great friends at Ital. So be sure to get involved in the conversation and win yourself a delicious panettone, the best part of the Christmas period, no doubt. Now, it's been a big weekend and there was a huge fixture out of Italy, and that's where we will start, the Derby d'Italia between Juventus and Inter. An incredible match given the fact that Inter Milan, surprising to many, but were the top side in Italy coming into this fixture against a Juventus side who have bounced back. They've had an indifferent season despite the fact that they have been in the top few for the large majority of the campaign. But coming into this one, Inter certainly had their shot at a rare win against Juventus because Juve so dominant in the Italian top flight, of course, in recent seasons. Six straight Italian championships. Thanks to Bein Sports, here are some of the highlights from the most recent Derby d'Italia.
A mistake, and Mandžukić, Handanović, the double save off the line. Miranda with a miracle there, and it's still not over.
There's a poor giveaway from Miranda. Now has Cuadrado looking to get Juventus in attack. Chester down, Khedira, Handanović, and two grabs. As the ball swung in, it's still there, it's available. But the whistle went.
The whistle had gone and Handanović didn't know, and that must go down as one of the saves of the season.
Quickly Santon gets there in position. Cuadrado delivers the cross at the far post. Mandžukić off the crossbar. The woodwork denies Mario Mandžukić right on the stroke of half time. He knows how to cross as well as Handanović goes flying the ball into the box. It's missed. What a chance for Khedira on 68 minutes. He gives it away, though. Vecino looking for support. It comes from Brozovic on his left foot. The shot from Brozovic just wide.
That was the chance that Inter have been waiting for. And that is all over.
It is. Valeri signals an end. And it's 0-0 between Juventus and Inter. A highly physical match.
Very physical indeed, 0-0 it finished. Scoreless, incredibly. Juventus failing to score for the first time in 44 league fixtures. Inter Milan went there to do a job. They did the job. 0-0, Inter remain the only side unbeaten in the Italian top flight after 16 rounds of matches. So that result opened the door to some of the chasing pack. Napoli, they had the chance to reclaim top spot. They failed to do so, though. 0-0 with Fiorentina. A lackluster performance by Napoli, who have been so impressive, but such is the competitive nature of the Serie A this season that they remain in second place. So it's certainly heading up right up the top there. Roma, another side who were in with a chance of closing the gap on the leaders, they failed to do so as well. 0-0 away to Chievo Verona. So Roma in fourth, Juventus third, Napoli second, Inter remain top of the Italian top flight. We'll have a full in-depth analysis of those key fixtures on the other side of the break, where just after we discuss, of course, all the scores across Europe, but plenty to discuss because a number of statistics to come from those fixtures. The talking points that have emerged since are quite remarkable. Number of players, their futures, I would say, are certainly up in the air now. Some underwhelming performances, no doubt. Just a quick wrap of the other scores in Italy. Spal Verona 2-2, Udinese 2, Benevento 0. Unfortunately, Benevento with just 1 point from 16 fixtures. They did get that first point while I was away. I was quite impressed. Sassuolo 2, Crotone 1. Sassuolo's first home win of the season. Ale Matri, their striker, missing his fourth penalty of the season. And AC Milan Bologna was the match that completed this round of fixtures. And again, thanks to beIN Sports, here are some of the highlights from that fixture at the San Siro.
Here's a chance now. Bonaventura! The assist from Kalinic nods it down for Jack Bonaventura, who gives Milan the lead on 10 minutes. Destro cuts back inside, is in the area. Destro on his left foot, he cuts it back. Here is Verdi! Simone Verdi levels it on 22 minutes. It's 1-1 at the San Siro.
What a wonderfully taken goal by Bologna. Brilliant move and really good play from Destro. I criticised earlier, but he did everything right.
Ball delivered into the box again. Bonaventura! His second of the night, and Milan hit the lead with 15 minutes to go.
Well, that's the hero of the night so far, Jack Bonaventura. Good delivery this time into the box.
But it's still not over. The header, Donnarumma, saves from Taider on 78 minutes.
Well, they have raised their game, Bologna. That's the answer.
As Bologna set up another shot, this time it's off the crossbar. It took a wicked deflection off Messina's long-distance shot. As Montolivo stops the run of Petkovic, and the final whistle goes. Bonaventura, a double for him tonight, has gifted Milan 3 points in Gattuso's first venture as manager here at the San Siro.
That's correct. Rino Gattuso winning his first match in charge of AC Milan. A timely one as well. Incredibly, their first home win since the 20th of September. But with the result, Milan now 7th place in the standings. So hopefully, for the sake of Gattuso and all Rossoneri fans, they can continue on. 2 games to finish the Serie A in coming days as well. We'll bring you those results and reaction to those fixtures in our Euro shows to come. Over to the German Bundesliga, an enormous week because Borussia Dortmund, the side who have been under fire for so long, their manager Peter Bosz has finally beIN sacked. We'll bring you all the fallout from Dortmund's tumultuous weekend very shortly, but it was a 1-2 home defeat to the relegation-threatened Werder Bremen, which was the final nail in the coffin for Bosz. He is gone, and incredibly, Dortmund have now slipped to 8th place in the German Bundesliga, 13 points adrift of leaders Bayern Munich. And don't forget, they were leading the competition. I think it was now just 10 rounds ago. Not even 10, actually. 15 gone. It was maybe 7 or 8 rounds ago. They were 5 points clear of Munich after that hot start to the campaign. They're now in 8th place, mid-table, and really struggling. A 2-1 home defeat. And that 13-point margin now to Bayern Munich is a result of Munich's 1-0 win away to Eintracht Frankfurt. And again, thanks to beIN Sports, here are the highlights from that fixture.
This ball headed towards the back post where Vidal is lurking. Nobody picked him up. Arturo Vidal puts the record champions in front in under 20 minutes. The quality of Bayern and a momentary lapse in the defence is all they need. Ribic. Oh, he's done very well. Another good save from Tom Starke. This time something from the training ground that hasn't slipped past the wise old head of Tom Starke. Well, they have to watch themselves. That's going to be a card as well. Oh, it's a straight red. And that turns the game upside down.
I think he loses a little bit of his footing as well.
He's seen. And he's going to give him a yellow card.
And that seems about right to me. And that's why the VAR's there.
I'm really happy.
Referee checks his watch and checks that his whistle works, and it does. Frankfurt lose 1-0 at home to Bayern München. A tight game where Bayern didn't really sparkle, but the final score, Frankfurt 0, Bayern 1.
Another win for Munich. That's 11 from 15, 35 points from their fixtures thus far. And similar to the Italian top flight, it opened the door. Well, it didn't open the door, but it basically meant that some of the other chasing clubs needed to get a result to maintain the pace, and they didn't. So the Bundesliga now, Munich leading by 8 points to Leipzig. Leipzig dropping points at home to Mainz. A disappointing 2-2 draw there. Mönchengladbach and Schalke, who are in third and fourth respectively, they played out a 1-1 draw. And Hoffenheim, they continued their indifferent season. 2-0 away defeat to Hannover, but undoubtedly the match of the round in the German Bundesliga, Cologne-Freiburg. Now, Cologne, bottom of the table without a win, they led 3-0 very early on. It was an incredible match. Freiburg, of course, in the relegation zone as well, but 89th minute, Freiburg 3-2 down, two late goals. 90th minute penalty, 95th minute penalty. They took away a 4-3 win, and Cologne now bottom of the table, 3 points from 15 fixtures, and you could almost guarantee they'll be playing in Germany's second division next season. Over to the French league, PSG had another win, a 3-1 win at home to Lille. No Neymar, no problems. It feels like he's out every second match with a suspension or an injury or something, but nevertheless, 51 goals, 17 matches, 44 points. PSG will be the champions of France this season. 3-1 win over Lille, whose struggles continue. They're in 18th place. Lyon, they had a 2-1 win away to Amiens. A very entertaining fixture, two late goals in that one. The one that caught my eye, though, Nice. A 2-1 win away to Nantes. Now, Nantes have been really, really impressive under Claudio Ranieri this season. Nice, not so much. But some recent form has seen them climb back into the top half of the French top flight. Balotelli with the winner in that one. He's now scored 6 in 6. You just get the feel that if Italy were still alive in the 2018 World Cup, you really get the feeling that Balotelli would be there because his form has been sensational. A few less red cards than we're accustomed to seeing for Balotelli as well. So a good result for he and Nice. And Monaco, they had a 3-2 win at home to Troyes after coming back from 2-0 down early. So a good result there. And over to the Spanish La Liga, some interesting results. Real Madrid, they celebrated Cristiano Ronaldo's fifth Ballon d'Or with a 5-0 win at home to Sevilla. They are now 8 points adrift of Barcelona. Barcelona in action this morning. They were away to Villarreal. And in this one, Lionel Messi created some history of his own. Here are the highlights again, thanks to beIN Sports.
Off the woodwork there. It's Gerard Piqué with a header. Rabba kept the ball in play there. Jordi Alba takes it off him. Vermaelen, rather fortunate, I think, to find Busquets, who's come a cropper there. It's a red card for Dani Rabba, and the youngster cannot believe it. A direct red. Messi, Suarez. Oh, that's lovely. Suarez. Suarez! 1-0 to Barcelona. It was coming, Duncan McMahon. So clearly, there was no way Villarreal were going to keep a clean sheet here. Leo Messi! 2-0. Leo Messi it is. 14th goal of the season, and there's no coming back from this.
There was no coming back at all. 2-0 win for Barcelona. Lionel Messi, 525 goals for the one club, equaling the record by German legend Gerd Müller with 525 as well. So a memorable weekend for the two greatest players on the planet, Ronaldo and Lionel Messi. But as it stands in La Liga, Barcelona 39 points from 15 fixtures. Valencia in second with 34. Another win for them at home to Celta Vigo. And Atletico in third, 33 points. They had a win this morning away to Real Betis. and Real Madrid in fourth after that stunning 5-0 win at home to Sevilla, who are in fifth. We're off to a very quick break here on the Euro Show. On the other side, we dissect and analyse all of the top games right across Europe. Still the Champions League draw and the Europa League draw to come as well. Transfer news and a whole lot more here on the Euro Show on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia.
FNR Football Nation Radio.
Not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Euro Show here on FNR Football Nation Radio with Adriano Del Monte. Pleasure to be back here with you after a week in New York City. George Janikian filling in and doing a wonderful job. Many thanks to George. We are shifting our focus now to an in-depth look into the Italian Serie A and German Bundesliga. And to help me do so, I've got a very close friend of mine here in the studio, Rick D'Andrea. Rick, welcome. And to all the FNR football family, welcome to FNR.
Thank you very much, Adrian. It's great to be here.
Great to have you, Rick. Now, let's start with the Italian Serie A. And it's timely that we will start there because before we do, it is Christmas time. And my favourite part of Christmas time is a good panettone.
It is also mine, so I can't wait to have a few after the show, to be honest with you.
Absolutely. Now, thanks to our friends at Ital, we are giving away...
Good friends.
Very, very good friends. We are giving away a panettone to our best tweet, text or call that comes through at any stage today. So if you're out there and you're a fan of the panettone, like I am, get on the line, get involved, text, tweet, do whatever you need to do. 99 44 99 99 is the number to call. 0428 933 45 or at FNR underscore radio. We'd love to ship a few of these out, so get involved in the conversation. Rick, let's get into Juve-Inter. Of course, the biggest game right across Europe this weekend. 0-0 it finished. I played the highlights earlier in the program today. What did you make of this fixture? Juve, it was an interesting match. Juve came into last week with a trio of huge fixtures. They had Napoli, they had Olympiacos in the Champions League, of course, and Inter Milan. In the end, two wins and a draw. A good week for Allegri, but they're still trail Inter in the Serie A standings. So a good result for Inter, a good week for Juve. Who is the winner out of this one?
Well, you'd have to say Inter would be. Obviously, they've been able to extend their lead at top of the Serie A with Napoli dropping points. Juve obviously getting the draw with Inter. Juve as well, you have to imagine, as you just said, the two big matches they played throughout the week may have taken a little bit out of them. Now, I think Allegri will start to refocus his time leading into the Campionato d'Inverno season, I guess, in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And then we'll obviously get his focus back into January and into the Champions League, which we'll discuss a little later on.
Absolutely. It's an interesting time for Juventus because they, for me, I was saying off air a little earlier, I feel they have been as indifferent and as inconsistent as any top club in Europe. And despite the fact that the Italian Serie A is as competitive as it gets at the moment, and the likes of Inter, Napoli, Roma, Lazio have been in really stunning form, Juve still maintaining the pace. They've got the best attack in terms of goals scored.
Correct.
They've got a very solid defence, as you'd expect, but they just seem to have a few areas to improve, which I think is alarming for their opposition.
I think you're right, but you have to imagine Juventus are planning for a 60-game season. They're not playing for week in, week out, let's get to December and be on top of the ladder. Let's focus with Juventus on where they are sitting in March, April. And I think that's the same with Napoli. That's going to have to be the approach with Roma as well, now that they're so far into the Champions League and they have to obviously get the draw when that comes out. So I think with Juve, yes, there are concerns. Yes, there will be some money spent throughout the January transfer window to improve the team and to even give some more depth, especially in central midfield, where I think that's the weakness. But gives Juve some time. Almost give them a break. I mean, they did lose one of their best defenders, at the start of the season. I won't go into that. Mm. That will be a discussion for a later time. But they will need to obviously improve coming forward, and they will.
Absolutely. And speaking of that central midfielder that they so dearly require at the present time. Emre Can of Liverpool, he's been a player who has been linked for some time. There have been fresh reports out of Europe suggesting that January may be the time for him to move. So they've got some talent in there. They do have a few holes to fill, though, but that's what makes me feel slightly excited about Juventus in the second half of the campaign. You're correct in saying that they're really targeting where they are, the March, April, really boosting themselves into the end of the campaign. And they've had a lot of issues thus far. A number of areas are being criticised by the media and by all those around them, but they are doing very, very well. And for me, it sounds silly. They've been in two of the last three UEFA Champions League finals, but they are a smoky to win the UEFA Champions League. And I say smoky because obviously Barcelona, PSG, Manchester City are at another level at the present time, given their records thus far. But I feel that Juve, with so much room still to grow, and again, some new signings, Bernardeschi, Douglas Costa particularly, they've still got room to grow in this side, and I really feel they can have a serious impact.
And it won't be easy going to the Juventus Stadium to get a result. Mm. And anything can happen in a two-legged tie, 90 minutes, especially playing in Turin. Do not rule Juve out at all.
No, that's right. Now, credit to Inter, though, because I did mention it was the first time in 44 league fixtures that they were held goalless, Juventus. And Inter managed to achieve that. A wonderful, wonderful effort. But defensively, Juve, 5 clean sheets now. Barca, Crotone, Napoli, Olympiacos and Inter. So both sides defensively sound. And we all know that in Italian football, defence wins titles.
Agreed. And I was still stunned. I couldn't believe that, you know, Luciano Spalletti decided to actually park the bus. And I will put that in exactly those terms. He decided to put 10 men behind the ball, one attack in Brozovic, and that was it. And he was very happy to get that 1 point and go back to Milan.
That's it. And they got the result. He obviously came with that game plan, so credit to them. As you said, though, a few of the sides around them dropped points. Napoli, one of those. Now, Napoli is an interesting one. They have had an amazing season thus far. I thought the last 7 days would be season-defining for Juventus. I really, really thought that their form was solid, but I really felt, and I feared for Juventus, that should they drop points against Napoli and Inter, it could almost be too much to come back from in the Serie A, which is ridiculous because they've won 6 straight, but that's where I was at. But it's turned out that it was actually a season-defining week for Napoli because their season has been turned on its head now. A very disappointing week for Napoli in both the Champions League and the Serie A. Champions League was always going to be difficult to progress, but they failed to do so and lost to Feyenoord as well. But the league, they lost to Juventus 1-0, now a nil-all draw with Fiorentina. It, for me, was a little alarming because no Insigne against Fiorentina. They just lacked a few ideas up front.
And you also have to add to that, if Napoli do want to be a serious contender but away in the Europa League now and in the Coppa Italia and in the Serie A, they are going to have to build on that depth. That squad depth is very, very thin. As soon as one or two players are out, as we saw with Insigne on the weekend, they don't lack that cutting edge to be able to get the ball through and score and maintain it. As much as we like Marek Hamšík, as much as we like Dres Martins, they do lack something when one of their big-name players is out, as we saw.
No, absolutely. And Hamšík is an interesting one. He's obviously one of Napoli's greatest ever players. We know that. He will be etched into history there in Naples forever and ever. But he has been really out of form in recent months, and there is a reason. It's really well known, but he has been level with Diego Maradona, his goal-scoring tally at Napoli, for some time, and this has been a burden on him. He's very evidently struggled, and he's very evidently had other things on his mind, and as a result, as you said, they don't have the depth to really mix it unless all of their 11 stars are at their best.
Correct.
They lost Goulam to injury. Insigne obviously missed here. I'm sick with a few issues, a few form and injury issues, and all of a sudden this is a very different Napoli side. What also caught my attention was Sarri, Maurizio Sarri, who's a very, very talented manager. He's come from nowhere, Empoli to Napoli, and he's the manager of Napoli doing wonderful things. But there are a few times at the weekend against Fiorentina where I felt that he was challenged, and when his plan A didn't work, there really wasn't a plan B or C.
Has there really been a plan B or C all year for him, though?
There hasn't. Again, the lack of diversity in the squad and the lack of options off the bench has prevented there being any plan B.
And we've all known that that was going to be Napoli's problem coming into the season. Sarri has always been this one-track-minded type individual. If plan A doesn't work, plan B doesn't really exist, or at least the players don't know how to execute that plan from within the last final half hour on the pitch. So there are a little bit of worries. My concern with Napoli is if they start to drop more points, and we don't know exactly what they will do coming into the next 2 weeks, especially now that the winter break is almost upon us, and leading out of the winter break, going into the Europa League season. That 6 weeks is going to be really, really crucial. Napoli are known for actually staying with the top teams during that time and even winning 6 out of 6. I'd be really surprised if they even get, say, 3 to 4 wins. Without even seeing their fixtures, I just think that depth is going to be challenged. They're going to get raided over the winter break, and I think that's where Sarri will need to actually come up with that plan B and that plan C.
No, no doubt. It's very well said. They're away to Torino next weekend as well.
And that will not be an easy fixture if Andrea Belotti is on form.
Absolutely not. Torino, a very solid mid-table side in Italy, so it'll be a tough, tough ask, no doubt, and particularly given the fact that Napoli have only scored one goal in their last four in all competitions, and that was in that 2-1 defeat to Feyenoord, a 10-man Feyenoord side. So it's been a strange, strange fortnight for Sarri and Napoli. If you're a Napoli fan or any fan of any Italian club, get on the line, 99 44 99 99. Rick and I would love to hear what you have to say. It was a strange weekend for the top four clubs in Italy, though, because Roma, Juve, Inter and Napoli all failed to score for the first time since the 1965-66 season. 52 years since all four of those sides had not scored, which is a remarkable fact. Obviously, two of them played, Juve and Inter, but nevertheless, that is a remarkable fact.
Astounding.
Astounding. 3-0 all draws, and they all involved those four sides. Milan is the other interesting one in the Serie A before we move on. Gattuso, his first win as the Rossoneri coach. I mentioned it was their first home win since September 20, and boy, didn't he need it. It was a terrible start for Gattuso with that draw against Benevento, with the goalkeeper scoring, Brignoli scoring in the 95th minute. Of course, a very poor performance against Rijeka in the Europa League midweek, but Milan, to be fair, were already through. So a very, very timely win against the Bologna side, who looked fairly impressive on the night.
And they are a solid mid-table team. We can't ever forget this. Bologna do know how to stay up. They do know how to almost qualify for Europe, so they're not, you know, a little team that you can push over. And it's been quite good to see Gattuso actually get his first win, but he's also just brought a little bit of confidence back in the team. There's a lot more camaraderie under him than there was previously at Milan. You've got to give him some time now, and I think a good 4 to 6 weeks is when you'll start to judge Milan. However, I don't know whether Gattuso will stay there for too long. Maybe you'll see out the season, and then they'll obviously start to look towards someone a little bit more with a bigger profile, but give Milan some time. We'll see what they can do. Get them some results at the moment.
For me, I certainly feel that he's not the man.
No.
This is a carbon copy of Montella. All these legends that they've had, Seydorf, Brocchi, Inzaghi.
He's just a stopgap fill.
At 100%. They need a big name to come back, really rejuvenate this squad and bring them back to the top of at least Italian football for the time being. And then we can look to the European arena in the future. But to be fair, 21 shots in this match for Milan. They're equal most this season. Yep. It was a funny tweet I read. Can't remember who tweeted it, but Abate, Bonucci and Montolivo in 0 degrees Celsius temperature entered the match in short sleeves with no gloves. So they said the Gattuso effect is in full force.
Very tough.
Very, very tough. So that was good to see. And that came off the back of comments Gattuso made during the week, saying that if you don't do what I say, to his players, of course, I'm going to destroy you during the week. So when Gattuso says that to you, you deliver.
And you listen.
My question with that is, how long can this last? Because this grit in English, as what is the best thing that Gattuso really can offer from the outside. He's not a seasoned professional coach. He's obviously got that hunger, that spirit, that desire to bring out the best in his players. But how long does that have a positive impact on? You're right in saying, let's give him 4 to 6 weeks. We'll see how far he can go with it all. But I don't think that's necessarily the way to bring Milan back to the top of Italian football.
And it's probably no justice that the team spent the best part of €200 million in July, August, trying to actually build a team that could come back and be competitive, you know, qualify for the Champions League. You're right, the grinta that Gattuso does have, it can only go so far.
Elsewhere in Italy, some interesting stats. I mentioned Ale Matri with his fourth penalty miss of the season for Sassuolo, but for Sassuolo, it was their first home win under Iacchini, their new manager there. So good for them. Walter Zenga, who's the new coach of Crotone, 2-1 defeat for him. And Massimo Odo, one of Gattuso's teammates in Italy's World Cup 2006 winning side, he is the manager of Udinese. In four games, Udinese, who were really struggling early this season, they had a 1-0 defeat against Napoli. That's a fair effort. Three straight wins have followed, though. 13 goals in that time. A 2-0 win against Benevento at the weekend. So very good news for Odo. And good to see some young new managers coming through the ranks in the Italian top flight. Now, before we get to a break, I just want to touch on the big talking point in the German Bundesliga, because Peter Bosz has finally been sacked from Borussia Dortmund. He has had a very, very poor season. They started like a house on fire. They were top of the table, 5 points clear, as I mentioned earlier. They have just plummeted down the standings. They're in eighth place. They're a mid-table side at the moment, and very lucky to be mid-table as well, because some of the other sides have been continually dropping points. So they're still in the running for the UEFA Champions League positions next season, but they're certainly going to have to get their act together. Can they do it, though, Rick? Because the report is, the official confirmation has come through that Bosz has been sacked and Dortmund have installed former Cologne boss Peter Stöger as his replacement until the end of the season. Now, he was the same Cologne boss who very recently was sacked after his side failed to win any of its opening 14 fixtures this season. Is this the man who is going to bring Dortmund back into the top four of German football?
He's got a tough ask. Let's not deny that. But you have to imagine Stöger did get Cologne through to the Europa League. That cannot be underestimated. The team did not have the talent that the Dortmund team does now have. And you've still always got Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang in that side who can fire on his day if he gets the right delivery and the right service. Like I've always said, and I'm saying this a lot, you're going to have to give these guys some time. Once he settles in, once he's able to mould the team in the way that he sees fit and playing the style of football that he likes to play, I won't rule it out, because they are still, what, 21, 22 points? I think they're in the mix for that mid-table, maybe a lower Europa League position. 3-4 wins coming up. You never know. They could be in that hunt for four.
They could. They've got a lot of work to do, though. Keep in mind, next season in England, for four next seasons UEFA Champions League, in England, Italy, Spain and Germany, the top four sides in a revamped UEFA Champions League will automatically qualify for the group stage. So fourth will be enough for Dortmund, as it will for any of the other fourth place in those leagues that I mentioned. So that will be their target. Obviously, the Bundesliga title is done. Bayern will run away with it quite convincingly, but the race for second, third and fourth will be a very interesting one to keep an eye on, which we will do, of course, in the weeks to come here on the Euro Show. We're off to a very quick break. On the other side, we switch our focus to Spain and France and the very exciting UEFA Champions League draw, as I've mentioned as well. That Panettone is still up for grabs. Keep the texts and tweets coming in. Rick and I will be back very shortly.
FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Live across Australia and around the world, this is the Euro Show on FNR Football Nation Radio with Adriano Del Monte, joined in the studio by Rick D'Andrea. We are switching focus to the Spanish top flight now. A very big week and weekend for Cristiano Ronaldo and Real Madrid. They've just departed for the FIFA Club World Cup in the UAE, but before doing that, they had the Sevilla clash to take care of. Moments after Cristiano Ronaldo was awarded a fifth Ballon d'Or, they won it 5-0. Very timely result. 5-0 win against a Sevilla side who they had their issues earlier in the season, Rick, but they've really bounced back recently. But a 5-0 defeat for a side who have been pretty strong defensively over the years. They've had a 5-0 defeat here. They also conceded five in the Champions League against CSKA Moscow as well. So a few strange results for Sevilla. They remain in fifth spot in the Spanish League, well and truly in the running for the top four. Again, direct entry to the Champions League next season. But good to see Ronaldo back on the score sheet, because he's struggled in the La Liga. He's been dominant in the Champions League, but really struggled in the Spanish top flight by his lofty standards this season. A brace, 5-0, all done in the first half. Great week for Ronaldo.
And he could rest as soon as that the 5-0 result was known at halftime. What more can you really ask from Real Madrid? They turned up, they put on an extravaganza, and then they went home and flew all the way to the UAE for the Club World Cup. What more do you really want? I mean, They played a team that was level on points with them coming into this game. They were both 28 apiece. Now, Sevilla obviously has dropped those 3 points. Real Madrid go into fourth outright on 31. It's a tough ask for Sevilla to even be able to crack that top four position. But you know what? Let's see what they can do.
Well, they're still in the running. Valencia second. We've known their run has been amazing this season. Simone Zaza, the Italian international, who
great player,
second in the goal-scoring charts, Lionel Messi. His form continues. But a great weekend for Real Madrid. And you ask, what more do they want? They want the Club World Cup. I think that will cap off a perfect 18 months for Ronaldo. Obviously,
agreed,
the Euro with Portugal starting it, the Champions League 1, Champions League 2, they've had a wonderful time. Ronaldo will want this, add it to the collection, and that will cap off a perfect 2017. Lionel Messi, though, I mentioned the record that he set not to be outdone over the weekend. It so often is the case. Ronaldo does something, Messi does it exactly, does something of equal significance. Messi does something, Ronaldo follows suit. It happened again, Messi equaling Gerd Müller's 525 goal tally for one club in the European top flights. Messi with 525 in 607 Barcelona appearances. Müller had 525 in 572 appearances in the 60s and 70s. But what can you say? Messi, Ronaldo, honestly for me, I'm sick of the debate of who's better. They're very different players. Obviously, they play in the same generation, so a lot easier to compare as opposed to the likes of Maradona and Pelé. But the two players have done exceptional things, 5 Ballon d'Ors apiece. I don't care who's better. They're the two best. It's a pleasure to live at the same time as them on this planet. Can't that be enough?
Just sit back, relax, and watch Barcelona and Real Madrid geniuses at their best. And that's exactly what we're experiencing at the moment. We don't need none of this Pelé versus Maradona comparisons. We don't want the Maradona versus Platini comparisons. We don't want any of that.
We just
want two exceptional players at their absolute best.
Enjoy
showing it off.
Absolutely. Enjoy it. Two great clubs, two great players, and two teams who will go a long way in the UEFA Champions League, Barcelona especially for me this season. Now, in the French top flight, PSG, I've been saying, I don't know if you've been listening in to our programs earlier in the past few months, Rick, but I've been saying that PSG will break all sorts of records this season. The 100-point barrier, all sorts of goal-scoring records. I think 120-plus is realistic for them. They scored 3 at the weekend against Lille. I would have expected a couple more, but look, 51 goals, 44 points, 17 fixtures. They are a serious force. But my issue with PSG, which I've repeatedly had for some time now, is will the fact that they win the Ligue 1 very early in the campaign, will that impact them in the Champions League?
I think that was perfectly explained probably about 2 seasons ago, where they actually did win the treble. And you thought to yourself, they've got such a big lead, they need to just focus on winning the Champions League. It's their crowning glory. It's almost their pièce de résistance. The one thing that they don't have in their trophy cabinet, even after spending all those millions upon millions, they're going to have to do it very tough. I mean, the pots we will talk about in a moment when we get to the Champions League, they're not easy. And when you've got a team like either a Chelsea or a Juventus thrown in there, mm-hmm, who are, you know, very good teams in Europe, they're not going to be able to, they're not going to be easy pushovers.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And still some time until those round of 16 fixtures take place in February. But we will get to that on the other side of the break, as well as the transfer news as well to wrap up today's program. Just the very last one out of France. Marseille 3, Saint Etienne 0 was the final game this round. Now, this is the most bizarre relationship in the world, not in world football, but Adil Rami and Marseille. Of course, Rami's played in La Liga, he played with Milan in Serie A, now at Marseille. He had an exceptional evening in defence for Marseille with his girlfriend Pamela Anderson watching on in the stands. Now, if that is not the weirdest relationship on the planet, Adil Rami and Pamela Anderson, then I don't know what is. Maybe tweet through your thoughts. Maybe the weirder relationship, if you've got one, will win you a box of panettone, because that's as strange as it gets. But 3-0 they won. They're in fourth place. Monaco third. Lyon second. Those three sides all locked on 35 points. So a very entertaining race for second and third, which are the automatic Champions League positions in France for the Champions League next season. Off to our final break for the day. Champions League and transfer talk to wrap up what has been another very busy hour here on the Euro Show on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia.
FNR Football Nation Radio.
Zidane! Oh, fantastic! Batistuta! Oh, what a fantastic hit!
Henry will have to do it alone.
Oh!
And he just graceful. He's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the Euro Show on FNR Football Nation Radio. We've whizzed through another hour of European action. Here, as we always do, some Champions League draw news and transfers to finish up. 10 p.m. local time tonight, the UEFA Champions League draw. 11 p.m. will be the Europa League draw. We'll have full reaction to that in coming days right here across the FNR network. But, Rick, let's quickly talk about the Champions League draw because it's a very, very exciting draw. As you mentioned earlier, some big sides finished second. Bayern Munich, Chelsea, Juventus, Real Madrid. So there are certain to be some very tantalising round of 16 ties. Just quickly, a very bizarre one that I've spotted. So Chelsea are one of five English clubs remaining in the round of 16. A great effort for the English sides. They've had a few seasons where they've been very poor in this competition. But Chelsea can incredibly only play three teams. Now, this has never happened. So Chelsea can only play Paris Saint-Germain, Barcelona, or Besiktas, which means that we sort of know there's a 33% chance, a 66% chance, actually, that they will play the PSG or Barcelona, which will make for an amazing round of 16 tie.
It'll be a headline act, whichever team they get out of those two. You'd be hoping if you're Antonio Conte that you'd get Besiktas, but the home crown advantage in Turkey will not be easy at all. They are raucous fans that can put any player off their game in any 90-minute stage. I'd hate to be in that position right now, to be honest, if you manage to get Besiktas. Good luck to Chelsea, though. I'd say they'll probably be out in the round of 16, to be honest, if they cop one of the other two.
Yeah, you'd certainly think so. PSG and Barcelona, obviously two of the very, very favourites for this competition. Juventus and Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, the other very interesting one. So you've got United, Liverpool and City, who can play all three of those. Tottenham, of course, were in the group with Real Madrid, so could only play Juve or Bayern Munich. So quite potentially, despite the fact there are five English clubs still in it, there may only be one or two left if the draw doesn't go their way. Of course, for the likes of United, Liverpool, City and Tottenham, there are Basel, Sevilla, Shakhtar and Porto there, but they're all sides who are there for a reason because they're playing great football and they've eliminated some very strong sides. Shakhtar, of course, eliminating Napoli. Basel doing some good things in a group with Benfica, who have been very strong in this competition. And Real Madrid, of course, are Real Madrid. They've won it twice in a row. So
how dare you underestimate Real Madrid?
Very exciting to see what happens there tonight, 10 p.m. on beIN Sports. Just quickly, we have completely run out of time, but some transfer news quickly. Sam Allardyce has said, according to reports in England, that Everton will bid £60 million for Aubameyang of Borussia Dortmund. Even if they bid, that will not happen.
No chance.
Real Madrid are in for Hugo Lloris if the Spurs don't win silverware this season. That's an interesting one, which could potentially go through. And Donnarumma, the young goalkeeper of AC Milan, is hot on the radar of Paris Saint-Germain. Would be an interesting one.
Hard to see it happening, considering that Milan want to really build for the future. Trapp and Sidigu at PSG, there already are two good quality keepers. Do they really need a third? That's my take on it all.
Probably not. But we will have all the reports on and the fallout from those news to come in our Euro Show Wednesday and Thursday. But for now, that's all we have time for. Rick, thank you for joining me in the studio today. We'll get you in tomorrow. We're back with the Road to Russia from 1 p.m. local time. Euro Show Wednesday and Thursday, as I mentioned. But for now, you've been listening to the Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte and Rick D'Andrea on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football throughout Australia. Until next time, it's goodbye for now.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR Football Nation Radio.